Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the first Tuesday of the month from 2 to 3, it must be The Bottom Line, starring Mitchell Spean. Mitch, how are you?
Doing good. God, it's been only a week since I've been here.
That's right. You were here last week. And, of course, I can't believe it that you're a CPA. It's tax season, and you're still devoted to having the radio show.
Look who's talking.
I know. See, that was a good show. Remember John Travolta? And look who's talking, too. Who was that? Exactly. Allie someone. Who the girl? Christy Allie. See, Kurt always knows. Is he amazing or what? That was a pretty good show. I think that got John Travolta back in Hollywood. I think he was sort of wondering, would he ever get in another movie? And then Look Who's Talking came about with Roseanne someone. Barr. I think she didn't. She talked. She was the baby that talked. See, Kurt, I stumped Kurt now. See, that's good. I never do that. How much do I win, Kurt? Okay, he said a million. He didn't put it on the air, so we could hear him. We want him to put it on there so we have a lot of witnesses. Anyway, the bottom line, this is great because people don't think of the bottom line. They sometimes think, they might think of components of the bottom line, maybe sales, but it's a fully integrated way of looking at business.
Well, you also have to realize that when you're talking about the bottom line, people really do look at the bottom line. How much did I make?
Yeah.
And if you look at it just from that standpoint, there's no way to grow a business because you're so concerned with making money that you're not looking into the future, not trying to make things happen that are going to be beneficial.
There's no doubt. The key is to change the bottom line if you don't like it. But changing the bottom line means changing yourself. A lot of people blame their checkbook for not having enough money in it. How silly is that? And we're going to ask our special in-studio guest that question first. But let's introduce them first. This sounds like the dating show. I know. Bachelorette number one. Dick Sunset. Let me make sure I get this right. Sunseith.
Dunseith.
Dunseith.
D.
D. Dunseith. That's right. And it says D here.
Yeah.
And my initial starts with D.
We try to make it
Dick
easy
Dunseith.
For you.
Yeah, it's very good.
We'll
and
just
of
say
course
President Dick.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he's president of the Phoenix Rotary 100. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. Good to be here.
Well, thank you for coming because I'll tell you, I was there, when was that, Mitch? About 2 months ago, perhaps a month and a half. Your meetings are phenomenal. The Phoenix Rotary 100 is incredible. You had a large turnout, about 150, maybe 200. The guest, the speaker was phenomenal, and you, as president, did a great job.
Oh, well, thank you.
So tell us how you became president.
Well, some people join our club, and they get into a leadership position very, very quickly. For me, it took about 25 years. I became a member at a fairly young age, and I was in the background for many, many years. I had young kids, a very demanding career, and I did my share, but not much more than that. And then things changed. My wife and I became empty nesters, had a little more time. I tend to fill voids of time. Got more involved in committee work, especially with respect to strategic planning of our club. One thing led to another, and then from that point, I don't know what happened.
Was it a tough campaign to become president?
We don't campaign.
I know, just kidding. Wow, and now you were in banking, what, commercial banking, 24 years?
Right.
That's, you must have a lot of experiences in 24 years.
Well, and I dealt mainly with businesses. I was with Valley National Bank, which is now J.P. Morgan Chase. Most of my career was with United Bank, which became Citi, then Norwest, and now Wells. And then I spent a couple of years with Biltmore Investors Bank, which is now Johnson Bank.
Wow, and then you actually started Epic Signs in 1997?
That's correct.
What is that, a sign company?
It's a sign company, and I wanted to do something different. I wanted a tangible product, but I wanted to make the point that every business, including those with tangible products, in the final analysis, every business is a service business, and that includes when you're selling a tangible product.
That totally makes sense. And now it appears that you serve on the board of directors of the Arizona Foundation for Behavioral Health. Is that correct?
That is correct.
How did you go from banking to signs to behavioral health? That is a really interesting leap.
It's all business. Your church is a business. The Rotary Club is a business. Sign company is, they all have to take care of their constituents.
Well, that totally makes sense. You know, I like that, right, Mitch, that he says no matter what you do, service, products, whatever, it's all service. It's all service. Right.
In the sign company, our main culture was our customers are not buying signs, they're buying reliability. And the guy who bought the company from me, he's doing very well with those same traditions, and he's been growing the company. And even during this difficult economic environment, he's hanging in there doing pretty well.
Service is so key. I totally agree. And really understanding what you really do. Like Nordstrom's, they don't really sell product. Are they still around? I'm sure
they are.
Yes,
they
sell service.
That's correct.
Exquisite service. Domino's was about, at one time, about quickness and time, mm-hmm. under 30 minutes. I don't think they do it anymore because got sued.
That's when their people were getting into auto accidents.
Yeah, that didn't work out. But mm-hmm. every company should know what do they do beyond their product or service. Does that make sense to you?
And what they do beyond the actual product is the most important part of what they do.
There's no question. And it really is a reflection of them internally, their beliefs, because as you know, you can only go as high as you believe you can.
That's true. You have to believe in yourself.
There's no doubt. Yeah. People don't, though. Well, people believe in me. No, you didn't mean that. But people don't really believe in themselves.
I believe in you, Dave.
There you go. See? Okay, I'll be there Friday for the Rotary 100. He's convinced me. No, people, can we announce that? Can people just attend, or they have to know someone?
Well, they need to be a guest of somebody.
Okay.
But that's easily arranged. If somebody wants to just see what we're about, they can contact our office. And we'll match them up with a buddy to host them and sit with them and be with them and explain things, answer questions, and they can learn about our club and what we do in the community.
So you want to give out your phone number?
Well, the office number is 602-604-8221.
And that's the Phoenix Rotary 100.
That is our office, yes.
Why don't you tell us, what does that mean? If people say, what is the Rotary Clubs? What do they do? What's their purpose and function?
Well, it's an international organization. We have approximately 1.2 million members in something like 33,000 clubs in something over 160 countries around the world.
Wow.
The mission is to promote it sounds corny, but to promote human understanding. And to help with human enlightenment through our programs, through our civic projects, by improving the human condition. As a byproduct of that, people can make some very important business contacts, as a byproduct. But some of those byproducts can be very lucrative.
Well, you have one of the nicest clubs, if not the nicest club I've ever seen. When I went there, it was my first time. Everyone was friendly. Remember, Mitch, I was saying, how could they be so friendly here? They were all very gracious.
Uh-huh.
And I've been going more than just since July when I actually joined as a member. I was coming with a member previously and always found it very pleasant. And it's always so interesting. The presentations have always been so intriguing that I had to continue it when Joel passed, so that's when I joined.
Well, I'm glad you continued, or else I may never have known this. And then who would we have as a guest today? I'm kidding. Wow, it is a great place, and mm-hmm. I really hope people do call you and at least try it out. And yeah. This Friday from, what, 11:30,
we meet for lunch every Friday. at the Phoenix Country Club on the northeast corner of North 7th Street and East Thomas Road.
Yeah, and it starts about 11:30, I think.
Well, 11? No, it starts at noon.
Yeah.
We although some people arrive early just to say hello to friends and to visit. We end promptly at 1:30. Whatever's going on, it's over at 1:30.
You know, that's true. I saw you get up last time and mm-hmm. sort of scoot over, so to give like the nonverbal cue, like, time is up.
Yeah.
It's time to move on to 1:30.
Most of our members are very busy people. You want something done, ask a busy person.
Yeah, that's a good good point. Yeah. I like that. That's a good business concept too. So, anyway, let's talk a little bit about some marketing issues, like marketing your business through community service, like organizations like Rotary. How is that helpful? How would you describe that to listeners?
Well, when someone joins our club, if they come in just to generate business, it won't work. And we see that happen from time to time. The way it really works in terms of the pure enlightened self-interest concept is when people join the organization, get acquainted with people, get onto a couple of committees. The biggest element here is agree to do something that helps the organization's goals, and then do what you say you're going to do.
Very important. So really, you got to participate, you're saying.
Yes. You don't have to participate in the degree that I am now.
Right.
But in all my years in this club, I've always been participating in to some degree. That caused me to get acquainted with people in a fairly intimate level in terms of working together on projects.
And Mitch, you participate.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things they do kind of help you by volunteering you for several committees. The first one is the greeters committee. So you're saying hello to everybody as they come to the meetings. And that's huge because you get to meet these people, have a friendly atmosphere immediately as you start, so that you're starting to get those acquaintances. And as you meet these people, your sphere of influence will grow, and it just makes you want to participate even more.
And you just participated and were involved in a very nice event, about a month ago, right?
Actually, the event that I spent most of the time was the Grape American Wine Event.
Arizona Wine Event.
Yes, all the wines were from Arizona wineries. Right. Mm. And that was the end of January.
Yeah.
That was. And our goal was to help our Field of Dreams, which was built by the club a number of years ago as part of the 100th anniversary of Rotary itself, challenged all the clubs to do some sort of project. Mm-hmm. And ours was the Field of Dreams. And so what we were trying to do was, in order to maintain it, we raised $12,000 towards that.
That's right. Excellent. That was a good event, I bet.
Well, yeah, the Field of Dreams is a sports complex. It's in the inner city, right in the Durango Curve at 19th Avenue and Buckeye Road. It's right between what you might call the projects and the Arthur Hamilton Elementary School. It was a field that had broken glass and needles and debris and so forth. One of our members, a single person, just had an idea for that field, came to our board of directors with an idea. One thing led to another. It grew legs. And we built about a $1.5 million sports complex for the community surrounding that area.
See, and that's the bottom line, consistent with what you're trying to do is help people,
right,
and create more awareness and opportunities, it sound like. And that's excellent.
Kids who... kids cannot slide into home plate and put graffiti on buildings at the same time.
That's a good way to look at that. So it's all healthy and provides the opportunity for people to excel.
Kids are now playing football, soccer, Little League baseball, basketball, instead of doing whatever else they might be doing.
And thus called the Field of Dreams. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Dick Duncey from, or I should say, the president of the Phoenix Rotary 100. And we'll be right back. This is The Bottom Line, starring Mitchell Spean. And I will be right back after these words.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Bottom Line, starring Mitchell Spean. And special in-studio guests, we have the president of the Phoenix Rotary 100, Dick Dunseith. And I'll tell you, this Field of Dreams concept is excellent, and it's a reality now. The dream turned into reality. This is very cool. Yeah. Tell us who were involved in putting this together. Some, you said there's some fairly well-known organizations.
Well, it began with our club. We raised within our club membership approximately $150,000 towards the project through our various fundraising activities. But a project like this needs and did attract community support. We received funds from the NFL through the Arizona Cardinals. The Diamondbacks were involved. The sod on the Little League diamond is the same sod that's in the ballpark.
Wow.
So the Diamondbacks were involved. The city of Phoenix was involved. Part of the plan was to turn the field over to the city for them to maintain as a city park. You don't want to just build a field and now what?
Yeah.
So somebody has to maintain it. So all this was worked out, ahead of, before we actually broke ground. We had members of our club who, lawyers who donated their time pro bono, landscape architects who donated their time without charge. A lot of in-kind talent was a part of this. The general contractor who coordinated the construction did this at a steep discount. So it was a genuine civic organization, public private partnership.
That is awesome. So it's a big group effort,
right,
actually, which is excellent. Now let's go back to the organization in itself. You mentioned committees. That's somewhat expected if you're going to join the Phoenix Rotary 100.
Right.
What are some of the committees that you have, and what's some of the time that you need to spend?
Well, the amount of time that you spend is up to you as an individual member. Like I say, for most of my time in the club, I didn't spend a huge amount of time, maybe an average of 1 or 2 hours a week, or less. Now, of course, now, you know, in the role I'm in now, I spend a huge amount of time, but most people don't do that, at least not for very many years at a time. So it's a matter of, it's kind of up to you how much time you put into it. People who spend a little bit, you know, the 80-20 theory, the 80% gets a bad rap. We have, for example, this coming Monday, we're going to do our 81st annual high school speech contest. Mm. And that illustrates the 80-20 theory. We have about 10 people who are putting in quite a bit of time. It's for a short period of time, a couple of months. But we couldn't put this event on without the other 40 people or more, approximately 40 or more, who simply show up on the Monday where we have the contest. It's at the country club. This year we'll have about 95 students coming from about 20 high schools. So the volunteers who just show up for the day, they're the 80%. The other 10 people have put in a lot more work. But those 10 people couldn't do it themselves. So we need that other 80%.
Which is very important.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. And what's some of the committees that you have?
Well, they're broken down into clusters. We have the administrative group, which includes we own our own building. So our building and grounds committee, our finance committee, insurance committee, and other personnel committee. Then we have our club meeting cluster of committees, which is everything having to do with our club meetings. We feel that a big part of what we are selling, to use business, you know, analogies here, is the club meeting. Now, you've indicated that you really enjoyed our club meeting.
Yeah.
And Mitch, you've indicated that you and a friend of yours now, perhaps, was very attracted by the content of the meeting itself.
If I hadn't been involved with it previously, there's no way that I would have even known to be involved, but there was no question that it was totally worth it.
Yeah. Well, we have a program committee that is very proactive in reaching into the community to find speakers, and we have just outstanding speakers. And you've seen that yourself, Dave.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You had the ASU swimming coach.
Right.
And that's the one I went to, and very, very excellent program. Yeah. I just loved it. That would probably be the committee I would join, is the program committee.
You could have some fun with that, yes.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. All right, sign me up. Right on the air, right now. We're doing a live sign-up. Has that ever happened before?
We have a commitment now for a new member. We'll get your application processed forthwith.
Did you beep us out, Kurt, for 8 seconds at least? Okay, maybe not. No, that sounds like a great committee. Yeah. How many are on that particular committee?
It varies from year to year, but we generally have about 8 or 10 people or more on that committee.
And they're assigned to, like, call certain interesting guests, see if they'll speak. How far in advance do you need to book speakers?
Yeah, that varies. This year, we've been booking speakers quite a bit more in advance. That's been one of our goals. Our members like to be able to see the speakers ahead of time to determine friends of theirs, acquaintances who might be interested in a particular program. Right now, we're booked about 2, maybe 3 months out.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
So there's still hope.
Yeah.
There's still hope for a radio show host. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I happen to think that some of the programs that Rotary does that are really important has to do with the youth. I mean, there's all sorts of youth programs to get not only people involved with Rotary, but you get to meet the parents and everything that's involved with that as well through some of these youth programs.
Well, we have a international youth exchange. We have students coming from other countries, about 10 students that we sponsor each year. So Rotarian families bring these students into their homes, and we want each student to live approximately 3 months in 3 different homes, you know, during the school year, so they experience American culture, you know, and get a bit of variety in terms of, we don't want them to just live with, let's say, my family and think my family defines American culture, because your family might operate much differently.
Yeah. If we say normal, then we're in trouble.
That's right. It's quite a difference. But however, that I think that's a great opportunity.
We have people who have done this, and they have lifelong friendships with the student who stayed with them maybe 10 or 15 years ago, and with their families. In many cases, their family takes a vacation to the United States, comes to Arizona, and stays with the family where their child stayed when the child was in high school, and vice versa. We have Rotarian families that will take their trip to Germany or Brazil or Japan and stay with the family of the student who stayed with them when they visited America.
Now, did Rotary start here in the United States or somewhere else?
It started in the United States in Chicago in 1905. We are called Rotary 100 because out of 33,000 clubs, we were the 100th club come into existence.
Is that right? Right. What year was that?
In 1914. We're coming upon our centennial.
That is incredible. The 100th club
right.
in existence.
And that goes for good planning, too.
Right. Yeah, I don't know all the details, but our club planned that ahead of time and worked it out with headquarters in Chicago for us to be the 100th club.
Wow, and we have maybe a minute or two before the break, but who started it? Do you know who the founder?
An individual by the name of Paul Harris. And the word Rotary came about because they rotated where they would hold their meetings. They would hold their meetings in each other's offices. I think it began with maybe three or four people and grew from there to 1.2 million. In 160 countries around the world.
That is incredible. And, you know, when I know we have about a minute left, but something to start thinking about, and maybe you know this, maybe not, but I'd be curious after our break to talk about how did they market this, and how did they expand so quickly, and how did they get into so many countries? But we'll talk about that after our break, because we're about to go on a break right now, and this is Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Bottom Line, starring Mitchell Spean, and we have special in-studio guest, the president of the Phoenix Rotary 100, Dick Dunsey, and we'll be right back after these words.
KXXT.
Are you suffering from pain in joints, whether from arthritis, osteoporosis, stiffness, or old sports injuries? You can be pain-free with BioVaxin Joint Free. Don't settle for pain. Call 800-288-1961. That's 800-288-1961. BioVaxin Joint Free comes in a 100% delicious natural liquid, which gives you the highest absorption versus generic pill forms with low absorption rate. Because of its quadruple action ingredients, many people experience pain-free results within 48 hours. BioVaxin Joint Free increases joint mobility, decreases joint stiffness, and nourishes your joints with the highest grade glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, hyaluronic acid, and all of your essential minerals and amino acids. Restore your joints, save your bones. Without mobility, we have no life. Conquer your pain once and for all. Call now for your free bottle when you get to. Call BioVaxine at 800-288-1961. That's 800-288-1961.
Our city is facing unprecedented challenges. During difficult times, people, driven by purpose and a willingness to serve the public, emerge to help their communities prosper. Wes Gullett, a principled Phoenix business and family man, is offering a new and thoughtful vision for our city.
I'm Wes Gullett. I'm running for mayor of Phoenix, and I'm asking for your vote. Working together, we can make Phoenix the greatest city in America.
Wes Gullett has the experience in business and public service to run the fifth largest city in the nation. Wes knows how government works and will ask tough questions and make the right decisions to ensure our city and its neighborhoods prosper.
We are blessed to live in such a special place, a city with boundless potential. But reaching our potential will take bold new ideas. It will require challenging the politics-as-usual conduct of our current politicians. I will put our citizens, our jobs, and our families first.
Please vote for Wes Gullet. He's the new leader with a purpose and the vision to make Phoenix the greatest city in America. Paid for by Wes Gullet for Phoenix.
This is 1010 KXXT.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is The Bottom Line, starring Mitch Spean. And special in-studio guest, we have president of the Phoenix Rotary 100, Dick Dunseith. And when we went out on the break, I asked the question, so you can contemplate it, is how did they expand so quickly, they meaning the Rotary clubs, into so many countries and so many people, so many members? Do you know how they did it?
Well, I have a sense of it. In 1905, we did not have TV. We did not have radio. Phones were just starting to kind of come into existence in more than one or two homes in a community. There weren't a lot of ways. We had newspapers, but there weren't a lot of ways for businesses to get the message out about their business. Rotary was started by Paul Harris in the beginning as a networking group for business, for people to associate with one another within the club based on high ethics. The notion of ethics was very important because everybody wanted assurance that if they're referring business to somebody in the club, that their friend would be well taken care of.
So certainly Al Capone was not in the Rotary
Club.
I saw the movie.
Yeah.
It was in Chicago. Remember? Was it about 1905?
No,
I think it was.
It came a little later then.
Oh, was it? Okay.
So that's how it got started. So people were hungry for that as a media. You know, business people were hungry for a media to expand their businesses. So, and it began working. People were doing business with each other as members. People were referring their friends to other members of the club, and some of those customers became members of the club, and it just kind of grew from there. Now, over the decades, the club began doing public, you know, good works, civic activities and civic projects, partly to continue demonstrating the ethics, you know, the idea of service. One of our motto is service above self. The first civic project done by Rotary was a public toilet in downtown Chicago. That was the first civic project.
Really?
And so then as clubs in other countries, the first, you know, they I think it began with the English-speaking countries, Canada and England. Business people in other communities started contacting Rotary in Chicago. How do we get one started? And they would get them started. I think a few clubs just started up without any kind of clearance and said, called themselves a Rotary Club, and then they interacted with headquarters in Evanston, Illinois, which is where the headquarters is now, and became official Rotary Clubs. And it just kind of grew through a combination of business, community service, then the idea of enlightenment, of learning, you know, programs, speakers, where you can learn something came into play. Also, just connections with other human beings, the fellowship concept. In our club, we work on the fellowship. We're not a religious organization. We're not a political organization. We try to keep our programs a lot of variety. We want to have balance. When we do have a lot of debates, political contests, many of the people who have in the last several decades who have been elected governor or senator in our state have debated at our club. Our honorary members include our two senators, John Kyle and John McCain. Sandra Day O'Connor is a honorary member of our club.
As a matter of fact, we just started a new program for her husband.
Right. Her husband, John O'Connor, who recently passed away, used to be president of our club. He was a very prominent attorney here, and he moved to Washington when she joined the Supreme Court. So she is She is a speaker at our club every now and then, and every now and then attends a meeting. So there's a lot to learn by being a part of a club like ours, and the fellowship, the friendships. I have many very good friends who are members of our club, people I've done business with and worked on projects with these people.
You know, what's interesting to me, it starts in 1905, out here is 1914, but it's not only grew, but it's still surviving through many changes in time, technology and all that. How do you explain that?
Well, we adapt. Any business has to adapt with the times and maybe even help shape the times a little bit. So that's what we try to do.
So that's great, because the organizations that don't, their bottom line will be no bottom line. I mean, it'll be gone.
Yeah.
And, Mitch, that's what this show's about, too, is to help businesses. So how can Rotary, maybe from a marketing standpoint and maybe other aspects of business, really help businesses? What do businesses what should they know right now?
Well, in terms of how being involved in a club like ours might help promote your business. I mean, that is how Rotary got started.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We still do that.
Sounds like the first networking group in history, maybe. Right?
Well, in fact, our club is large enough. We have about 275 members. So we have a networking club within the club. You've heard of the networking groups that meet every week. Well, our networking group meets once a month because we see each other, at a regular club meeting, so we don't need to have that element of our club meet every week.
So a networking group within the group?
Within the club, right.
And how's that work?
Well, we show up for breakfast. We have a speaker. Very often it's a club member. Sometimes it's talking about his or her business. And we exchange leads, exchange business cards. Everybody has 30 seconds to describe what their business is and what would be a good lead for them. We're explicitly trying to help each other do business with each other.
So that's awesome. How many people usually show up?
About 30. It's a fairly intimate group.
That's nice, though.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good size and small enough to really get to know each other.
Yeah. You know, I think a good way of illustrating this might be through a story. I got acquainted with a person, and I won't mention the name of the company, but it's a very, very well-known company. This is when I was in banking. And I was acquainted with the treasurer of that company through Rotary. And I kept saying, I'm going to get your business one of these days, and just kidding around. His banking business for his whole company. Well, one day I'm in the buffet line at the Rotary meeting, and I just overheard this person up ahead of me in the buffet line grumbling to somebody about something that had happened with their existing banking relationship. And I said, I will contact your secretary this afternoon, and I'll be in your office tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Is that okay? He said, "You damn right it is."
Really?
He was hot. You have to, you can't miss the moment. I mean, this was the moment.
So thank God for buffets is the moral of the story here.
Yeah. So I showed up in his office at 10 o'clock the next day with a person in my sales staff area there. We showed up together. One thing led to another. The whole process took about a year. We had about 25 specialists who are working on their investment needs, their trust needs, their computerized cash management service needs, their commercial lending needs, their overall deposit need. I mean, you name it. We had people looking at the whole thing because this was a big deal. At the end of a year or so, we had a presentation in our boardroom at our bank. The CEO and some board members of this company were in that presentation. Everybody knew what we had provided a written document ahead of time for them to look at prior, made the presentation, and they made the decision to move their relationship to our bank, and it was the most profitable relationship in the bank.
Is that right?
And it was through Rotary.
Wow. Now, and your efforts, too.
Well, of course. But does that happen every week or every month on that scale? No. When I had my sign company, I did a lot of business with people I knew in the Rotary Club. It than paid my cost of being in the club.
I've done business with several of the Rotary members as well. You've just got to meet and understand what everybody does. If you need a printer, there are plenty of printers. If you need somebody to do staffing, they've got that. If you need good CPAs, there are several in there.
Right.
I can't say which one's the best, but I'll tell you, Dave is, Dave is one of the two best CPAs that I know.
See, there we go.
There we are.
And he's number one. Mitch, we should have a song. Who's number one? I don't know if we have a song for that, but we got a bell for that. No, that makes sense. And it's not about – well, let's put it this way. You can always tell when people go to other groups, networking groups, if they're out just for themselves.
Right.
You can't be out for yourself.
Right.
You got to be there.
That's right.
And to give of your time, your service, like you said, what did you say, service before self?
Service above self.
Above self. And and you could always tell people that are not in that mode. And,
well, if you
and
go,
that's not working out.
If you go through the phone book to get a service, what are the odds of getting a sleaze bag?
Good odds.
Much higher than at the Rotary Club.
At least.
I mean, you know you're dealing with good people. Good people are not going to donate their personal time to help kids. They're not going to do it. I mean bad people.
Yeah.
You know, the sleaze bags, they're not going to donate their personal time to help kids. Over a period of years, you get to know people over a period of months and years. And that's when the payoff comes, after people get to know that you do what you say you're going to do.
And you have integrity. Go ahead.
And it's also a matter of expectations. Somebody coming into the club shouldn't expect to get business immediately either. They should be going because they want to promote their business. I can understand doing that.
Yeah.
I can understand promoting yourself. But if you go but you've got to be patient because it'll happen.
But if you come into the club even for 10 years and that's the only thing you're there for, it won't happen.
You're not going to be there 10 years if that's all it is.
That's right. Yeah. You'll move on. We see that. But if you embrace what we're about, you get involved in the community. And you don't have to spend endless hours at this. You just do it. If everybody does it, getting back to that 80-20 theory, the 80% is critical. We need that 80%. Of course, 20% do 80% of the work, but that changes. It's a different 20% from year to year. So I've been part of the 20%. I've been part of the 80%.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And really the key is have visibility right within the organization. That means really becoming a part of participating in the greater good.
Right.
And if you have visibility, if that's a side benefit, then people will know you, you.
Well, that's true. But we have a lot of quiet people who don't necessarily like the microphone, but they're known because they do what they say they're going to do. They have a great reputation, and people kind of are drawn to them and want to hire them as their lawyer or their CPA or their construction company or whatever it is.
See, that makes sense. So it's really visibility is one aspect, but integrity really becomes the key.
That's the absolute.
Yeah, without, you have to have that.
Without that, nothing else you do is going to work.
Yeah, but like Mitch said, you can volunteer for things, and being a greeter in it and by itself, it has to be valuable. You get to meet everyone.
That's fun. I do that just for the fun of it sometimes. Yeah. I show up early and just stand there and greet people, and it's fun.
Yeah, it is.
And when you're doing it, you make sure that you say their name and you say your name, because it brings a more personal aspect to it, makes people feel real good. So you're making connections
And if you're enjoying it, they will enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy saying hello to somebody and greeting them. Hey, welcome to our club. Glad to see you. I mean, it's fun for me. If it isn't fun, people can tell if you're just putting on an act. It's fun.
There's no doubt. And you don't want to put on an act. You really want to. If your goal as a greeter, I'm going to throw this out because I haven't been a greeter at this club, but
you will be when as soon as we get you in.
I can't wait. But the goal should be make the new people or everyone you meet comfortable and welcomed. Is that right?
That's it.
It's really pretty simple, isn't it?
Regardless of race, creed, national origin, political orientation,
or color of hair,
or even if you're a CPA.
But we even have lawyers. We even let lawyers in our
club.
No
way. I don't believe that for a second.
We really do.
You're kidding. But that's probably an extra fee, though. No, probably not. I know some great attorneys. So does Mitch, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's so nice to meet
several in the club.
Oh, we have some. We kid around about attorneys, but we have terrific attorneys in our club.
Which is good.
And right. they do pro bono work for our projects. I mean, we every now and then, fairly often, we will have a project that requires some kind of a legal review. We go to one of our attorneys and they do it.
Say, that is so cool. And when we come back from our break, we will continue our discussion with special in-studio guest Dick Dunseith, president of the Phoenix Rotary 100. This is The Bottom Line starring Mitchell Spean, and we'll be right back.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, certified financial planner and certified divorce financial analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, certified financial planner, 602-235-0336.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Bottom Line, starring Mitchell Spean and special in-studio guest, the president of the Phoenix Rotary 100, Dick Dunseith. And we were talking off there about, in case people didn't know, women also are prominent members of the
absolutely.
Rotary Club.
Yes, they are.
Because
yes.
Maybe in the old days that wasn't the case, right?
Well, now we talk about adapting to changes in society. And I remember the debate we had about inviting women into our club. The person who was arguing against it, I still... He's passed away now, but he never would tell me. But as I listened to him argue against inviting women into the club, I'm thinking, he's torpedoing his own arguments. This is a sad... He was a radio personality, by the way.
Really?
Similar to you. Nice guy.
Except yeah. I love women.
Yeah. And I thought, this is a satire. And then I thought, well, maybe it isn't. And then, well, maybe it is. Well, that's the mark of a good satire, when you don't really know.
That's true. So he didn't know why he was arguing.
Well, he was actually, I can't prove this, and others were there and maybe had a different perception, but I think he was just saying, hey, folks, I'm arguing against this, but it's time.
Oh, I see. Yeah. He just had to be someone out there, the lone wolf.
He was, those who opposed the invitation asked him to be their spokesperson.
Oh, is that right? Well, that's weird. How does that happen?
I don't know, but he was up in the years, and they just figured he was one of them. I'm kind of guessing this stuff.
Yeah.
This was 25 years ago or so, but I just found that interesting. And we have quite a number of women in our club who take on very serious leadership roles. In the last 10 years, we've had two women as presidents of our club. They were great. They were very, very good leaders. It's not a big deal.
See, that's good. That's important to know, because a lot of people may, because there are groups out there, I don't think now, but I know in Los Angeles there were certain groups that it was only like a men's club or something, and I think that's all changed these days, right?
Most organizations have changed.
You almost have to.
If you're gonna
be open to change, that's one of the major changes that you've got to be open to.
Well, and here's the bottom line. This is the bottom line show, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, the bottom line is this: if we are a service organization here to help our communities, locally and international, why would we want to not include anybody who wants to come and help?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
it's all consistent with your mission. It's about being better people, helping people become better, and you can take that. I just made that up. Sounded good, right? I don't even know what I said, but I liked it.
Well, I'm going to write it down.
Yeah, well, we'll have to replay it. Can we replay that? Probably not. Let's do an instant replay on Breakthrough Thinking. Okay, at least I got an applause. Now, getting acquainted with other members of the organization, there's probably a lot of ways to do this. One way is what? Through events, I suspect.
Well, we coming to club meetings, committee work. We have social events. We have bridge. For a while, we had a motorcycle club.
Really?
We had a couple of judges who had Harleys. and one of our, in fact, one of the ladies who was president of our club had a Harley. And Carlene was in this group, and they would take little motorcycle trips.
They have a wine
we have
group, too.
A wine tasting group.
Oh, really? Yeah. Do you go there, Mitch? Not the wine tasting.
No, I've got to be my designated driver. That's why it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So what other groups? I mean, you have like sporting groups or other types of activities? It sounds like interest and activities.
It can be whatever somebody wants to organize.
Oh, okay.
They're free to do they do that.
That is so cool.
It can change over time.
So there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, it's social stuff. It's business stuff. It's
charitable
stuff. It's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, separate from events, I suspect people make friendships, like you said, and they get together outside of the whole group.
Yes.
And how's that been? Well, let's ask Mitch. How's that been for you? Have you met some people?
Oh, I have. I was on that one committee that I was telling you about before regarding the wine. But I also, obviously, the Greeters Committee. I've got because I've been involved with Toastmasters in the past, the one that I'm looking forward to being part of is the speech contest. Mm. So those are the types of things. And as the time goes on and as tax season ends, I'll be able to spend more time doing things to be able to be part of the different groups that are out there.
Yeah.
And talking about tax season, since you are a CPA, when does it end this year? It's a little different, isn't it?
It seems like it never ends.
Yeah, you're right about that.
But the actual due date this year is the 18th. The reason it's the 18th is because somewhere up in Washington, D.C., there is a holiday on April 16th. Because the 16th this year fell on a Saturday, they fall back to the Friday. Well, Friday becomes a holiday. That's the 15th, which means the next working day is Monday the 18th.
And CPAs love that because now we get an extra, 3 days? Roughly.
You get to ruin one more weekend.
Yeah, that's another way to look at it, I guess. That is so cool. So
now everybody's going to be on extension way before then.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the wise thing to do. So do you you have many CPA friends?
We have quite a number of CPAs in the club. My CPA happens to be in the club.
Wow.
My attorney happens to be in the club.
It's like a family event.
And we're friends. I mean, we've known each other for many years.
Which is great. So now your term ends in June.
That's correct, June 30th.
And let me ask you, how much time do you spend as president? What's an idea?
I probably spend something like 20 hours a week.
That's a chunk of time.
It's a commitment. Yeah.
So what's some of the most memorable things thus far as you're in your presidency?
Oh, wow.
Good question, huh?
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, the Grape Arizona Wine event was a new event. We have some people who came up with an idea in terms of membership retention. to create a class project for new members who had joined as of a certain date, although everybody who had joined and hadn't been a part of this, everybody who was fairly new and had not been through what we call Rotary College. You know, it's a seminar system where new members, they wear a red badge until they get through Rotary College, at which they learn about our club and learn about Rotary International. So the people, the red badgers, we brought them together and asked them to come up with a class project. I really wanted to see us do something to create a funding source for the ongoing operations at the Field of Dreams. So this particular group that Mitch was a part of really embraced the idea of creating a new fundraiser for that purpose. The group considered lots of different ideas and decided to do a wine tasting event. We held this event at the Musical Instrument Museum, the MIM, a terrific venue for this. We purposely kept the ticket price fairly low. We wanted to emphasize participation, attendance, and fun.
And just so you know, it's going to be there again.
Yes, it is.
They've already booked it for 2012.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
So good success.
So this group came together, and they did it. I sat in on meetings just to be sure what we were doing was consistent with the bigger picture of our club. But the leadership of this group was terrific. And it was a very, very successful event. Many, many people and their spouses from our club attended, brought guests, people from outside of our club, and it was a very good inaugural event. So for me, that was very gratifying to see these fairly new people and to see leadership emerge. You know, nobody picked out who's, I mean, I picked out the chair of the event, and she did a terrific job of leader. She just basically put on a leadership clinic, actually. But to see other
absolutely wonderful,
yeah, and to see other members of the group, just leadership just emerging. Something needs to be done, and somebody would step forward and say, "Well, I'll do this. Can you help me with that part of it?" People rallied around each other. Leadership moved from person to person in the room as we were planning things. It was just a spontaneous combustion leadership is what we saw with that. Very gratifying. Now, we have two people, not me, but two other people who came up with this idea. It's one of the best ideas I've seen happen in Rotary for years. And now we're continuing that concept. We have a new class who's now organizing around another project
The way, this is really, under your leadership, this is the first time that this project for these classes has emerged as something so that they can get out into the community so that people can help each other and basically become aware of not only Rotary, but everybody else that's out there because of all the people that contribute to these events.
Right, right.
So I think that's awesome. It sounds like it's sort of contagious. And when you have people of like minds, like hearts, like compassion, good things are always going to happen. And that's what you have is a central theme for people, for members, for people to really, like you said, service above self.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
That is outstanding. And can you believe it? We've gone an hour already. This is unbelievable. Wow. Let's give some contact information out. So I wrote the number down. I think it's 602-604-8221.
That is correct.
You should get and call because you have a great guest this Friday, don't you? A good guest speaker.
We do. We'll have Anthony Robles, who is the NCAA wrestling champion from Arizona State University. He is the person who I think was born with one leg and became an NCAA wrestling champion. He wants to become a motivational speaker. That's his chosen career. He'll be speaking at our club this
fantastic
Friday.
So call now, 602-604-8221, and get there Friday, I think. Yeah. Or at least call and see if you can get a guest to sponsor you. I guess that's how it works.
Well,
Dick Duncey, thank you so much for being here on Breakthrough Thinking, The Bottom Line, starring Mitch Spean. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave.
Absolutely. And Mitch Spean, thank you, The Bottom Line. And we'll be on again next month for another exciting episode of The Bottom Line.
Absolutely. And next month, we're going to have the people in charge of the Arizona Society of CPAs and the State Society as well.
And happen to be Rotarians.
Absolutely.
Actually, they are.
We'll be right back with the Green Roundtable.